be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 What's up, what's up, what's up, gang? It's the Upon Official Review Podcast back again in your face, taking zero prisoners, only leaving destruction in our wake. You know how we do over here. So
roll.
Exactly. It's exactly how we roll. Like a pair of bakers, son.
Yes.
But thanks again for tuning in. We hope to bring you more sports news and love and
awesomeness.
Statistics and awesomeness that you don't get anywhere else. So exactly. thanks for being a part of the show. We'll probably kick our initiative up to start bringing in, getting some more calls and doing some things, getting some more fan feedback and stuff in future episodes. I miss getting everybody's voice and everybody else's opinion in the show too. So we'll do that soon. But it's almost football season, which everybody has opinions about that. So
absolutely,
So, but let's start off with the Phillies, man, because baseball season is getting to its peak. It's getting to its what do you want to call that?
Apex.
Apex. That's a good word. That's a good word. Okay. I was thinking another
it's
word.
It's getting like there. We're dog days of August are almost over. It's time for the stretch run. September's just right around the corner, a week away here. So it's time to start looking towards the playoffs. And I wouldn't say separate yourself from the pretenders, but I think the Phillies have already actually done that.
Yeah.
So really, it's just let's fine tune everything, let's get healthy, and let's get rolling. There's not really much else to do. There's not really much of a storyline. The Braves are hanging around right now. Phillies lost today. We're taping this Thursday, August 24th. They lost this afternoon to the Mets. The Mets, we didn't sweep them. We won 2 out of 3. And the Braves currently are 6 games back, but 8 in the loss column. So it's just because they've played more games because we've had rainouts and things of that nature.
Right, right.
7 in the loss column. But they're losing right now, the Braves. So, when it comes down to it, when we play them, we'll take care of business when the time comes. I'm not worried about the Braves. I'm not worried about we're gonna win the division. We're gonna have the best record in baseball, or at the very least, the best record in the National League, which is the only thing that matters. That'll guarantee us
home field
throughout the playoffs, including the World Series, because of the National League's victory in the All-Star game.
The All-Star game, right, right.
So. If Boston or New York starts going crazy and ends up with a better record, it doesn't matter.
It's true.
If the games mattered more to us right now, we'd, be able to easily get the best record in baseball. We're still going to have the best record in franchise history, probably end up with around 105 wins. No Phillies team has ever won more than 101. In fact, two teams, 1976 and 77, both won 101 exactly. The only two times in franchise history that the team has won at least 100. So it should be the third time getting to the century mark and first time eclipsing 101. So
I didn't realize that. How many games did the 90 or 2009 team win?
2009 team, I believe, won 93 games. I'll tell you in 2 seconds. 93, right on. They won 93. Last year, as we know, they won 97. 2008, I think they won 91 or 92, and I know 2007 they won 89.
Yeah,
so,
that was the year they at the end of the at the very end of
92
the year
they won in 2008, 92. So it was 89, 92, 93, 97, and then this year to be determined. That those are the 5 years they won the division, and I guess I'm giving them the crown early, but it's hard to believe the Braves. I mean, the Braves are really good.
Braves are quite good. Yeah.
But the Phillies are on another level to me.
It's not a slight at the Braves at all.
It's not a slight on the Braves at all. The Braves are just unlucky. They're stuck in the wrong division.
Yep.
Because even if they were in the AL East, they'd have you'd have to play the Yankees or Red Sox, but they'd also get to play Baltimore, who's terrible. There's no absolutely terrible team in the NL East. Florida right now is 13 games under 500, but let's be honest, they lost all those games in June. They were, what, like 2-22 or something
yeah,
like that?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the rest of the year, they've been 500. It's not exactly a pushover, except for just 1 month. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a top to bottom. It's a deeper division than the AL East, and they have to play the Phillies still. So
yep.
Certainly any other division except for both Eastern divisions, they'd have a great chance to win. And they'd be leading any other division except for the AL East and the NL East. Even right. They're still two games ahead of Milwaukee in the loss column, despite Milwaukee winning every game in sight for the past month or so.
Yes. What are they, like 20-3 or something like that? Or 22?
They were 22-3. I believe they lost today, or else they're losing. No, they lost today, so I think now they're 22-4 over the last 26. Either that or 23-4.
Now, do they worry you at all in a little bit?
The Brewers, no, they don't. If you look at that division right now they're playing in, it's terrible. St. Louis, second place, they're four games over 500. They're 67 and 63. Cincinnati's three games under 500. Pittsburgh is seven games under 500. And Pittsburgh sucks, okay? Pittsburgh shouldn't be within. Pittsburgh will be 20 under in our division. Chicago's 17 under 500. And Houston is 46 games under 500. 46!
Wow.
Houston is more games under 500 than we are over. We're only 30. So they get to play those teams 18, 19 times a game a year each. That's why they have a good record.
Gotcha.
They're a good team, but they don't scare me. Their run differential is a plus 54. Ours is plus 158.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they scored eight more runs than the Phillies in four more games. So we scored more runs per game than them. The only teams to actually score more runs per game in the National League is St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Colorado, which Colorado doesn't really count. And it barely counts in Cincinnati either with that park. But not only have we scored, more runs per game, pretty close, but, you know, we're right now averaging about, you know, closer to five runs a game. Give us four more games, that's 20 runs. We're only eight runs behind them. But they've given up 112 runs more than we have. So, you know, we score more, we allow way less. We're a better team. They don't scare me. No.
Yeah, that's. I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking along the same lines. Just would you ever, you know, in a series, could Fielder, Braun, and Hart get hot all at the same time, you know?
Could they? Yeah, they could, but could they against our pitching? Doubtful.
Not likely, right.
We know what happens in the playoffs when great starting pitching goes against a great offense. Just look at last year with our
pitching, comes
our
out on
pitching
top.
Against Cincinnati. We shut them out two
yep,
games.
That's true. Yeah, Cincinnati was coming in really hot, too. They
had the best offense in the
people.
National League, and yep. they couldn't do anything against us.
Yep.
And that's what happens. Starting pitching wins in the playoffs. So Milwaukee is not as good of a team as Atlanta. They don't have as good of a record. They play in a much worse division. Put Atlanta in that division, they'd have almost as good a record as we have.
Yeah, they
put
run
us
away
in
with
that
it.
Division, we'd have 100 wins already. So, no, I'm still more scared of San Fran if they make it, and Atlanta because pitching.
Right.
Bring Milwaukee on. They have good pitching, but not great. And right now, our lineup, honestly, there's a chance that we could score more runs than any team in the National League. We're not that far behind the top three right now. And we've been gaining big time on those guys since we got Pence, since we got a little healthy, since John Mayberry Jr. decided to turn into Babe Ruth.
Yeah. That was actually one of my talking points. One of the things I was going to ask you was, is it time to finally say, you know, put Raul on the bench just forever and ever and just never let him see the light of day again and just keep Mayberry out there?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. Mayberry has earned the right. He's batting .326 since his last call-up at the beginning of July 5th or 9th or something like that, with 9 home runs and 29 RBIs in like 32 games. And some of those games, he pinch hit for one at bat. So it's not like he started all those games. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you take his at bats this year, it's fewer than 200. A normal position player who plays every day gets 600 at bats for a year. If you prorate what he's done For the entire season, I'm not talking about just since July. For the entire season, it prorates out to, now this is before today's game. I looked this up last night. 38 home runs and 129 RBIs.
Wow.
38 and 129.
Wow.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
That's insane. Now, put on top of the fact that all he does is hit three-run homers every game, first
yeah,
of all.
Exactly.
Second of all, he's very good on the base pass. Third of all, he's very good at defense. He can play all three outfield positions. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
When could Raul in his life ever play center field?
He also sees pitches well. He takes absolutely like a walk per game, too, when he starts.
Yes, his on-base percentage. Raul Ibanez has a lower on-base percentage than he has a batting average.
Wow.
And that's, again, Mayberry was not good until he came back up from July. He was batting like 220 at the time.
Uh-huh.
So since then, it's just been astronomical how good he's been.
Right.
If you prorate his at-bats since the beginning of July, he'd be on a pace for like 50 and 150, like a Ryan Howard 2006-esque season.
Wow.
His MVP year.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely – the defense is 10,000. I mean, when you have Mayberry, who can play center, actually playing left field, usually the position that the second worst defender on your team plays.
Right.
That is very good. He's got an arm. He plays defense. He hits for average. He hits for power. He runs the bases. He's a five-tool player right now. Raul Ibanez is a zero-tool player. He has nothing. He's one of the worst defenders in the league. He has no arm. I remember a throw a couple weeks ago where had he just even thrown it in the some general vicinity of home plate, the guy would have been out by a mile. He threw it actually closer to first base. He's terrible. He doesn't hit. He can't run. He can't field. He can't throw. He does nothing well. He's just terrible. That's all he is. There's absolutely – Mayberry, you know, you want to say, oh, he should only play against lefties. Mayberry is better righty-righty than Ibanez is lefty-righty.
Wow. That's...
So when Mayberry has a favorable – against a pitcher that the pitcher has the favorable matchup, righty on righty, he's better than when Ibanez, who's a lefty, gets to face a righty. He's better against righties than Ibanez.
Yikes.
And light years better against lefties. Not to mention the base running, the arm, the defense, everything else. There's nothing Raul Ibanez does better, literally nothing, than John Mayberry Jr. There is absolutely no reason. And you know, the funny thing is everyone's saying we need a left-handed power bat for the bench. Raul Ibanez, you know, he does have some pop.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having it. That kind of solves two birds with one stone.
That's true.
He gets a dead hole out of the lineup and gives us a little bit of pop from the left-hand side coming off the bench. So, hello. I mean, to me, Ibanez, it's over. I mean, unless, you know, because the thing is, Ibanez gets in his hot streaks, but has he ever done anything in the playoffs? No. He's never contributed to a single playoff win. All he does is go 0-for-4 in the playoffs. I mean, he's terrible, and I do not want to see him at all. I'm sorry.
He's done,
and Mayberry is 1,000 times better than him. I say it all the time. All he does come in every game, has a three-run home run, plays good defense. Our defensive outfield with him, Pence, and Victorino is great.
That's a great defensive outfield, absolutely.
Yeah, and Ibanez is one of the worst defenders in the league. He can't get to anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. I've seen way too many. You know what's funny this year is Ibanez has made a few plays in the outfield, plays that he's left his feet, and it always, like, shocks everybody. We're always like,
yeah,
world.
Yeah, like you fall off the chair thinking, what? He actually caught it? And the funny thing is, you know, he has to run full speed to get to a ball that Mayberry can walk
over. He trots over.
He's got so much more range. It's just ridiculous.
Even close, yeah.
So, I mean, the lineup's better. The defense is better. Everything is better. Nothing is worse. Plus, we need a lefty from the bench, and that's Ibanez. To me, if Manuel plays Ibanez against anyone in the playoffs, he should be fired on the spot. You know, it's not like we have this guy under contract for the next 6 years and we don't want to risk him pouting or something like that. First of all, Ibanez, whatever else, you know, I can't stand him as a player, but he's a good guy. He's not going to pout. He's going to do his best for the team.
Yep.
So there's no question about that. And second of all, he's not even going to be on the team next year, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And Mayberry can be, and I think he's better than Dominic Brown because he changed his stance. You know, he had holes in his swing before,
yep.
And right now it's not like they're just grooving him fastballs. There was a book on how to pitch him, and guess what? The book doesn't work anymore.
Yep.
He changed his swing, and he got better. And to me right now, he should be the left fielder every day or any, you know, if you want to play Ibanez so much, sit somebody else. He needs to be playing 5-6 games a week. And maybe Ibanez gets a start against a righty once a week. That's it. Just to keep him getting at bats so he can at least pinch hit in the playoffs.
Right, right.
But definitely shouldn't be a platoon because you only face a lefty one out of every 5-6 games. So that's not enough.
Right.
You know, if Ibanez was the righty and Mayberry was the lefty, I'd say fine, platoon him. Let Ibanez start against the odd lefty once a week. But to me, you know, like I said, if you want to keep Ibanez still in the game once a week, that's fine. But, you know, Mayberry, let's see what we got here. And I think he should, you know, it should be his job to lose over Dominic Brown next year because he's better than Brown.
Yeah, he is right now, absolutely. The other thing that he does that, you know, besides take walks, hit, and everything else, he doesn't strike out. He rarely strikes out. He puts the ball in play a lot.
Absolutely.
He hasn't had a 3-strikeout game all year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, his slugging percentage is almost as good as Shane Victorino's. And Shane Victorino is an MVP of the National League candidate.
He is.
And he can win it with a hot September. I mean, he's been unbelievable, Shane Victorino.
Victorino has been great.
I mean, Mayberry's slugging percentage, again, this isn't just since July. This is including the first 3 months when he was kind of bad. Mm-hmm. You know, way better than Howard, way better than Pence, way better than Utley. I mean, this guy has been unbelievable. He's been the best hitter on the team for 2 solid months right now, and you can't sit him down.
Yep.
He's been the best position player on the team since maybe Victorino, but certainly top two. And right. That's Jimmy Rollins, Hunter Pence, Chase Utley, and Ryan Howard. He's been better than all of those guys. And if you're better than those guys, and, you know, Ibanez is one of the worst players in baseball, to me it's just frustrating that we even have to have this conversation. But
yep.
You know, wants to screw it up so bad.
One more thing about the Phillies before we take a break. Oswalt's back, and he's got some more heat on his fastball.
He hit 94 last Saturday.
Yeah.
I think he's back. I think nothing to worry about. I think he's going to be great, and I'm excited. That's the only thing he was missing early was the fastball.
Was the heat,
once I
exactly.
saw 94,
yep.
I knew we were good to go.
Yeah, so he's definitely you're when it comes to playoffs, you're putting Worley in the bullpen, like a long relief type situation.
Absolutely. Yep, yeah, absolutely. Him and Kendrick both will be helping the bullpen because right now Contreras just season-ending surgery. We don't have.
He's done.
And Stutz is tough, definitely falling back to earth.
Yeah, he has.
He gets up runs every time he comes in. So yeah, right now you've got the cover with Bastardo and Mattson, but you don't have much else.
Mm-hmm.
So the more help in the bullpen, the better. And absolutely. Oswalt's your number 4.
Yep. Well, I'm excited for the playoffs. Definitely. But yeah, it's good stuff, man. Let's take a break real quick. Come back. We'll do what's making Murdoch mad. We'll talk a little bit of birds, and we'll get on with it. So you guys stay tuned. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word of Philly sports.
That is us. Stick around.
Coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
What's up, gang? It's the Upon Official Review podcast. Holla at you, boys. You know how we do up here, taking names. You will not get
ass.
Them back. Exactly. You do not get those things back. Absolutely not. Well, gang, it is time for my favorite segment, your favorite segment, your mom's favorite segment.
Mama.
Exactly. Oh, mama. Why would you do? It's time to find out, everybody, what is making Murdoch mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
All right, guys. Let's find out. Murdoch, what do you got for us this week? What's making you mad?
This week, the Phillies medical staff is making me mad. I am so tired of injured pitchers pitching when it's obvious to everyone they're injured. How stupid do these idiots have to be? I'm sorry. Blanton pitched for over. I'm actually glad Blanton's out for the year because I don't want him pitching. It's better we've had Worley all this time.
Yep.
But Oswalt All he kept saying is, you know, he's throwing 87. Yeah, he's fine. What are you talking about? What do you mean 80? What do you mean fastball? He's just as good as it always been. He's never been able to hit more than 87. It's like, oh, really? Because we didn't see that he used to throw 95. Okay, yeah, sure. We're stupid. Yeah, nobody thinks he's hurt at all. No, not at all. And then, oh, what do you know? He's out for 2 months. Do you think he might have made it worse by trying to pitch on it? Maybe just a little? It's like, you know, and then Cole Hamels, stiffness in his shoulder. What does he do? He throws five innings. Are you insane? You've got Kendrick ready to go. Right then, Oswalt was back in the rotation. So you had Kendrick actually used to starting, stretched out, ready to start. And somehow they decide, let's risk Hamels, even though his shoulder's messed up. He's got no velocity right now. Let's risk injuring him for the season by making him pitch for five innings in a meaningless game of Oswalt in August. Are you joking? Why would you do that? The only thing that can mess us up is injuries. Of all the people on the team, who would you want to be most careful with? Cole Hamels. And yet, he's hurt, and they make him pitch for five innings. Then he misses a start. Now he's on the DL. I understand he's going to be fine. Be cautious. Don't risk the injury. Enough making these guys pitch when they're hurt. I have had enough. It is completely outrageous. It is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. The Phillies medical staff should all be fired. Whoever's making this decision needs to be working at Burger King. I've had enough. It's really pissing me off.
I don't know if I want them working at Burger King.
Seriously.
Even that.
They could be a garbage man. Exactly. I figure out a way to screw that up.
A garbage never picked up one time. Must be those Phillies medical staff people.
Yep.
Good stuff. It's true. It's true. They are
idiots. They keep saying, yeah, No, they're not hurt at all. It's like, yes, they are hurt. You take precautions. One game in August when we're up by 1,000 games doesn't freaking matter. What matters is that Hamels is ready in the playoffs. I understand it's not going to matter, but it might have. There was no reason that he would have pitched those five innings when he was feeling something in his shoulder. You sit him, you figure out what's wrong first, then you let him pitch. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. I'm so mad.
Yeah, ignorant. Terrible. Yeah, you're right. Why would you do that? Makes zero sense.
Just stupid. They do the same thing every time. He's not hurt. What are you talking about? No, nobody's hurt. It's like, yeah, they are. We're not dumb. We see they're hurt. Why are they pitching?
God. Yeah. The other night, when Cliff Lee had the 10-0 lead, I was afraid that they were going to leave him in the whole game, and I was just like, really? Really?
Seriously.
Thankfully, they brought him out. That was going to make me angry. I was watching this. I was watching it, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. They're not going to leave him in for this whole game, are they? Good stuff, Murdoch, as always. As always. All right, let's talk a little bit of birds. Last week, you know, as always, Philadelphia fans overreacted, at least in my opinion. You know, the Pittsburgh game, they looked kind of bad.
They definitely looked bad, especially the first half, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they looked – I guess, there were reasons a little bit to worry, just in the fact that there were points when the defense just looked a little bit lost. So what do you think, Murdoch? Do you put any stock in the preseason whatsoever?
No, absolutely not. The Colts have lost five straight preseason games. They seem to be decent in the regular season.
Have they lost eight?
No, I'm sorry, eight straight. Yeah, eight straight preseason games. Andy Reid doesn't ever do anything he doesn't care about the preseason, and he shouldn't care.
No.
The Eagles are always bad. They're always 1-3 or 2-2. It does not matter at all, because guess what? As soon as game one happens, none of this is going to matter. It's just you haven't had football in so long, people have to complain about something.
Yeah.
It's completely ridiculous. Pittsburgh got smoked by who? Washington the week before that?
Yeah, they did.
It doesn't matter, people. We got a bunch of new players. They didn't have a training camp. So what? Let's wait and see how they look in the regular season when the games, I don't know, count?
Yeah.
You know, who cares? It just doesn't matter. Pittsburgh was on, we weren't. Big deal.
Yep.
You know, in a season, there's going to be games where the other team's on and you're not.
Yep.
Anyway, so you're probably going to, you know, sometimes you just, you know, nobody's perfect. You're humans. You go up and down. That happened to happen in the preseason.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
What?
Yeah.
It's not like Pittsburgh's a bunch of scrubs either.
Yeah.
They sort of, you know, almost won the Super Bowl last year.
Precisely. Yeah. I don't put any stock in it either yet.
No, doesn't matter.
Plus, you know, one Andy does not like to show his hand at
exactly.
all.
And he shouldn't. He handles the preseason the way it should be.
Yeah.
By not giving a crap about it. He just wants to work on certain things and use the preseason to get ready for the regular season. What a shock. He's not trying to win. He's trying to actually win when it counts.
Yep.
You know, we kill Reed for a lot of things, but let's not kill him for not caring about the preseason.
Yeah.
He shouldn't care.
Yeah.
He does that right. That's one thing he does right.
Yep. I agree. Yeah, I put no stock in that. The one thing, though, that was the take-home point for some people was that, well, not just regarding that game, but in the offseason in general, you know, we're kind of, you know, the defensive line is looking a lot better. You know, Cullen Jenkins, really, without even adding Jason Babin, just adding Cullen Jenkins makes that defensive line so much better. But the defensive line is obviously a lot better now, and the secondary is, you know, arguably, I mean, can you say anybody's secondaries is anywhere near? I mean,
well, certainly we have the best cornerbacks.
Best cornerbacks, right?
Our safeties, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows about safeties? But just as far as cornerbacks go, and so far as like
by far the best lockdown, in history, yeah. The best in history, we have the best cornerbacks in the history of football.
Yeah, it just has to be. Yeah, three Pro Bowlers. Come on. So, but linebackers, the linebacking core, you know, do you feel? It's kind of like them in the Flyers with goalies. They never seem like they put a lot of stock in them.
So true. That is a great point. I love that. That is exactly what it's like, the Flyers with goalies. And they always say, you know, the thing is, the Eagles, their front office guys, Banner and Roseman and all these guys, they have positions that they want to spend money on.
Right.
You know, you have to, you know, let's be honest. They do well with the cap. They were the most prepared team coming out of the lockout. They
sure
planned
were,
for
yeah.
this for years, and they were able to do great things this offseason. And it's because they don't waste money on guys they don't think are worth. You know what I mean? They pay for guys that are, you know, actually worth paying for. They don't overpay like Washington does for washed-up veterans, you know?
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you won't be able to get the actually really good players when they come around every few years. You know, you don't get those guys free agents all the time.
Right.
So, you know, their strategy for the cap is decent. They don't feel that linebacker is worth spending money. Now, obviously, most of us wouldn't agree with that. I think they undervalue linebacker a little bit. Maybe it's not as important as defensive linemen or cornerbacks. Sure, I would absolutely agree with that. Linebackers were more valuable, especially, let's be honest here, 4-3 linebackers are less valuable. If they ran a 3-4, it would be a different story
because
they'd
be
pass rushing a lot more often. But linebackers were much more part of football as far as like a huge position when teams ran the ball.
Ran the ball more, yep.
Mm-hmm. So I do think if you had to pick a position on defense where you would put, you know, less money, less stock into it, you would pick linebacker. Now, I still don't think you should get just anybody to play linebacker, and that seems to be somewhat of their strategy. That's the part I don't like. You know, it could cost us, you know, we'll see. I hope not. I'm not totally confident in our linebackers, but I think they could have done something to bring in, you know, at least one more veteran to have a little more depth.
Right.
In case one of these young guys isn't ready. So that's my thinking on it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just the thing about it is typically linebacker is one of those leadership positions. You know, it's the quarterback of the defense.
Correct.
You know, so you like to feel confident that guy is
the middle linebacker, right?
Yeah, exactly, the middle linebacker. You like to feel confident that guy is, you know, physically, you know, impressive. The guy is, you know, running around and flying around and making hits.
Right.
At the same time, he's, you know, kind of a cerebral player. He knows what's going on. You know, those guys, those Urlachers and the Ray Lewis's and the Patrick Willis's and guys like that. Now, Matthews, you know he's got the head for the game. The question is he going to be in the right place at the right time?
Is he ready yet?
Exactly.
Is he too young?
Ready.
Is he actually good enough? I agree. You know, one thing I will say before we also, you know, we're, you know, a little bit on the Eagles for not getting good linebackers. Stuart Bradley, if he never gets hurt, he, you know, was bad last year coming back from the injury.
Yep.
I actually think he's going to have a good year this year. But if he never got hurt, you know, we would have had better linebacking the last 2 years.
That's true.
Really ready to step up and have an awesome year, I thought.
Yeah, right.
The year he got hurt. What was it, like some practice thing?
It's like the practice game. Yeah, exactly. The Eagles, like, do a scrimmage, essentially, against each other.
So, that sucked, and we've had worse linebackers because the guy they drafted in, what, second or third round, I believe. Third round, he was going to be really good, and the injury really slowed his career down. It ended up meaning they weren't going to re-sign him in free agency. And if he never got hurt, he's still an Eagle. And, you know, right now our defense is better. But what are you going to do? Stuff yep. like that happens. So True. It's not like they've completely ignored it. They just ignored it a little more than I think we would have liked.
Right, exactly. Because, exactly.
again, you know, Stuart Bradley was in their plans the past couple of years. It just
That's
didn't
true.
Work out.
That's true, that. Yeah. And you know, he definitely had a lot of potential that, unfortunately.
Catastrophic knee injuries. Not fun.
Absolutely not. It was, you know, it makes you yearn for the days of when Trotter was doing his thing, like when
the
he was
first
young.
Time around.
Yeah, exactly. The first time around, precisely when he was, you know, running around and just busting up plays with Jim Johnson's defense, man. That was, he was fun to watch. You know, he was breaking up plays in the backfield and getting sacks and, you know, tip passes and interceptions and everything like that.
Yep.
So hopefully Matthews can step up. We know he's got the head for the game. Let's hope he's ready. Hope he's ready to learn. Plus, apparently Castillo's defense is pretty complex. So we'll see if they can bring it together. Anyways, enough about football for right now. But we definitely will come back to it. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about we're going to be doing a fantasy football league, and we'll talk a little bit of fantasy this year on the podcast. So I know you got a lot of people a lot of you guys are into that. So let's go ahead and take a break though for right now. Come back, do the legal procedure, tweet
Sounds
of the
good.
Week, and then of course Crossfire. You guys stay tuned. This is the Upon Official Review podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That's
stick around.
Us stick around, like the man said.
You used to be a special place for all my college friends, a sanctuary in cyberspace, but every love story ends. Why'd you have to go and lose your exclusivity? Now all my nightmares have come true. My mom just friended me. Since she joined, she spends all her time checking my newsfeed. My interests are no longer bubble butts and sticky weed. She whacked my ass on Mafia Wars and Flickster, you got mail. She washed the colors with the whites and posted laundry fail. My mom's on Facebook. She found a new way to nag me. My mom's on Facebook. Comment, Twitter, her friends tag me. My mom's on Facebook. She only got it to stalk me. My mom's on Facebook. My childhood photos cock-block me.
Welcome back to the Upon Official Review podcast, gang. You know how we do over here, taking names. Thanks for being a part of, you know, the best podcast on the planet. It just is. The best Philadelphia.
I mean, just
podcast.
To be honest, let's
yeah,
be honest.
Exactly. Let's be honest.
By far the best. The best in the history of everything.
True indeed. True indeed. Well, gang, and it is time for the illegal procedure. So let's get to it.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
All right, guys, this week I have a dual winner for the illegal procedure. The first illegal procedure goes to none other than the planet Earth for giving us a earthquake on the East Coast. Not okay with that. Listen, planet, if you're going to give earthquakes, let them be where they belong, on the San Andreas
for
Fault.
California or somewhere in the Ring of Fire, Japan, you know,
exactly.
those kind of places
yeah.
that are actually, like, used to earthquakes.
Right, exactly. I'm not okay with them. I'm not okay with them on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I like to be somewhere where I am free of most natural disasters. Hurricanes, floods.
It's freaking freezing here in the winter. It's, you know, hot and humid in the summer. The one thing we get is we don't get earthquakes. That's
yeah.
the only, you know.
We don't get earthquakes.
The weather
we don't
sucks.
Get hurricanes.
It's still freezing, though. But it's yeah. still super hot and humid in the summer. We don't get nice summers or winters. All we get is the lack of, you know, hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes. And now you're trying to take that, too?
I want to have to deal with that. No, not okay.
Not okay.
Not okay. And I was literally on a 20...
Not cool, Earth!
Exactly.
You stupid planet.
I was on the 25th floor of a high rise, man, in the city. And when the ground starts to shake, when the building starts to shake, that's a bad look. I was not comfortable with that. Just, you're in jeopardy. Don't do that again. I'm coming for your neck. You do that again. Me and you are not on good terms. Secondly, Twitter as a whole, they forced everybody to go to that new Twitter interface this past week, and I don't like it. It's got some functionality that's kind of cool, but
I don't see why we have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. We should still be able to use the old version if we want. And I had that sweet background that I worked for months on, like making perfect, and now you can't even see it. So, Twitter, you're making me mad. Stop it. Stop forcing things on me that I don't like. All right, enough of the legal procedure. It's time for the tweet of the week, and we had some good ones this week. So let's get right in to that. La, 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 don't wait till I get my Twitter right. La, 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 then you can't tweet me nothing, right? Excuse me, did you tweet something? You can't tweet me nothing. Okay, for a tweet of the week, it goes to none other than one of my favorite follows, account by the name of Filled. _N, that's PHILLED _N, a guy named David. David tweeted, I wished Polly, Placido Polanco, I wished him a happy bobblehead day. For me, he said, every day is bobblehead day. Which is true. Placido Polanco has a huge head.
Gigantic.
It is. It's massive. It's massive.
It's Bonzian, I might even say.
It is. It is. Well, it seems like he's catching. He's been hurt like all year, but if he can get hot.
Yeah, he's the last couple days been healthy. That was the thing. Yeah. It's like we lost Rollins, but got
Polanco. Yeah,
Polanco back, which is fine because Polanco's not really best used in the seven hole anyway.
Right.
And a healthy Polanco is a very good two hole hitter, but you can't put Victorino in the seven hole with the season he's had. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
And let's be honest, right now, Victorino is a better leadoff hitter than Rollins. He's better every hitter than anyone on the team. He's been the best hitter on the team. So,
was he better, like 315?
Yeah, and with like 550 slugging percentage, it's just been unbelievable. Right now, Victorino and Polanco is just, you don't lose much from that to Rollins and Vic at the top. So, and you got Mayberry in the six hole and, you have Martinez or Valdez at short, but again, we have one hole in the lineup, which is okay, and when Rollins comes back, then you've got, Rollins, Victorino, Utley, Howard, Pence, Mayberry, better be, Polanco, Chooch. That's your lineup. That's unbelievable.
That's a really good lineup, man. Nobody wants to see that day in and day out. Absolutely not. Good stuff. Let's get into Crossfire, sir. What do you say? Ready?
Let's do it.
It's the ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You get caught up in the crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
You'll get caught up in it.
All right, gang, it is time for Crossfire. Ari, why don't you get us started?
All right, sir. First question for you. Okay. If the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl this year, because I'm feeling like a Super Bowl or bust, is it finally time to get rid of Andy Reid? Do you dump him after this year if we don't win a Super Bowl? Is it time?
No. He signed, I believe, a 3-year extension before last year. Is that correct?
Sounds about right, yeah.
I think he has this year and next year. I'd give him 2 years, two full years with Vic. Plus, all these players we signed in the offseason without a training camp, short. You know what I mean? I'd rather have this year plus one more year. Give him two shots at it. I don't think necessarily changing right now, because if we don't win it this year, I still think we have a great chance to win next year.
Yeah, they're still young enough.
And I don't think we need to change everything. I think a little continuity. I think the weird off season, we couldn't work with Vic as much. I would give him another chance, two more years. I give him two more, but that's it.
Sounds about right. Sounds good to me. All right, what do you got for me?
Okay, let's talk a little college football, since that's right around the corner.
Sure is.
Also, super conferences plus playoffs. Do you think that's a good idea?
I am kind of leaning towards this idea of a super conference, like just four conferences of 12 or 16 or however they're going to do it, or six conferences, and then having, a 10-team, 8-team playoff. I'm a huge fan of that. You can even still keep the bowl games in there, and you can even keep the little small bowl games. I'm sure they could find out a way to do it. I've had enough of this BCS garbage that is passed off as a playoff, you know, eventual champion. I don't buy it, not one bit.
Enough, but you know, let's hope someday they'll actually become a real sport instead of figure skating with a stinking French judge.
The judges, exactly. Precisely, yeah. No, it's ridiculous. So I'm a fan of that. There's a way to do it. I know there is. I mean, it's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science. You've got seven playoff games for eight teams. You give the bowl games all seven of the playoffs. Everybody makes money.
Yep.
Everybody wins. You know who doesn't win? Alabama and the SEC and the big schools that want to keep the small schools out of it. That's who doesn't win.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a joke. It's not a real sport, and it won't be until it's got a real playoffs.
I agree. And I love college football. I love the rivalry aspect of college football. But I just think it's goofy. There's just no way.
And they
way.
Say, oh, the regular season starts right away. The playoffs start right away through the whole regular season. No, they don't. How would they be any less meaningful if there's only eight teams out of 360 making the playoffs?
Exactly.
You tell me it's a meaningless regular season.
Yeah,
it's a
exactly.
joke. It means more. Because right now, it only means something for the winner of the SEC, maybe the Pac-10.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's a complete joke. Maybe the Big Ten also.
Big
but,
Ten,
you know,
yep.
It's just, you know, two or three teams. Nobody else matters. You know, Utah and all these other teams that go undefeated, and they have no chance.
TCU,
their regular
yep.
season, TCU, they don't have any chance from the get. Boise State, their regular season means nothing. There's no playoffs for them. They can go undefeated for the next 20 years and still never get one
chance.
And
never sniff it. Yep. Exactly. Yep. So it's time to make a change. I agree.
Yep.
All right, sir. Next question for you. Next Philly season, looking towards the future. If the Phillies probably won't bring back everybody, and we know Ibanez is off the books. They may or may not bring Oswald back, but in your opinion, if you had to bring back Ryan Madsen or Jimmy Rollins, which one do you think gets a new deal?
I only get one of the two?
Yep. Only one of the two.
Now, if we don't sign Rollins, do I get to sign another good shortstop, or am I stuck with Valdez?
No. You know, keep the door open. You could sign another good shortstop.
All right, well, then I would re-sign Madsen and go get Jose Reyes, because think how unbelievable we would be with Reyes at the top of the lineup.
That's true. Can you afford to pay him?
Well, if you think about it, right?
How much is he going to make?
Well, he's got hurt again this year. That's got to hurt his value.
Yeah.
He's not
going to
get more than – what is he going to get? You know, he's not going to get $150 million. He's probably going to get $17 or $18 million, right?
Okay.
You're going to have to pay Rollins $12 million, so it's only an extra $5 million, all right? So say – okay, even say an extra $8 million a year. You're losing – Ibanez, that's 12.
Right.
You lose an Oswald is 16. Seems like that's it right there. Now Lee and all these other guys getting raises, but still, you can afford to do it if you don't sign Rouse. It's not that much more per year than Rouse is going to get. And between Oswald and Ibanez going, you can pay Reyes. Will they? Probably not, but that's what I would do. That would be amazing.
How much would that burn Mets?
Because let's be honest. Rollins, the other team's fans aren't terrified every time he gets on base. Reyes
no,
gets on
anymore.
Base, you are scared.
It's true.
It is a terrifying prospect because he's going to steal second, he's going to steal third, they're going to get him home. It's a triple every time he gets on base almost.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. That's what I want at the top of my lineup. And he hits, what, 330 this year with a really high on-base percentage? I mean, ugh. And he's, you know, maybe Rollins might be a little better defensively, but Rollins is going to lose a step at some point. And he's 32. Reyes is 27, 28. I mean, you know, I hate Jose Reyes, but love him on my team.
On your team, you love him, exactly.
And you know what? You know, so he gets hurt. He might lose his groin, miss 15 games here or there once or twice in the year. I can live
Wait,
with
loses
that.
His groin.
Guess what? Or hurt his groin, you know, or hurt his hamstring or whatever.
That would be the worst injury of all time.
He lost his groin in San Francisco. Of all towns to do it.
Terrible idea.
But yeah, you know, got Victorino that can lead off and Polanco still next year. And again, Polanco we're losing after next year. So let's get Reyes this year and David Wright next year for second and third, or for shortstop and third. And just, be, you know, let's just become the Yankees and sign every great player. Why not?
Let's make it happen. Why not? All right, what do you got for me?
All right, last one, but not least, the Little League World Series. How would you feel about it if your kid was in it?
That's a little tough, man, because you don't hear a lot of players that make the majors that played in the Little League World Series.
Except Chris Drury, who made the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like there's so much pressure on these kids that I feel like they may get burned out if they just, you know, play it so much and then they end up playing in this hyped up event that it really is just hype. I mean, at this point,
right. All this, and you get the parents putting pressure on them and coaches and stuff.
Exactly.
So they're probably not having fun at that point and stuff.
Exactly. Like, you see these kids, and these kids are like emotionally like burnt out after these games. Yep. Like, they're like crying and like trying to hold it together, and like when they pitch a bad inning, they're like, go, you know what I mean? Like, you can see the stress on their face. Like, what am I gonna do? I can't believe I gave up 3 walks. Like, it's just, you know, it would have to be.
There goes my chance at the big leagues.
Exactly. I'd have to have a kid who was just very much not affected by.
I mean, if that's his greatest dream and everything, I don't know, keep him from it. But I wouldn't necessarily push them into it. Certainly.
Right. But at the same time, I would. You're right. I wouldn't push my kid into it.
Right.
It's tough. It's definitely, it's just high.
You don't need that much pressure early in life. Yeah, they should have a stress free. You know, I didn't know what stress was until, you know, when I was a little kid.
No,
and they shouldn't. You know, all they're worried about is when they can go out and play and when's school over. Yeah. You know, so that should
homework.
Be the only
homework is the only kid. Stress you get. And even
exactly.
Like, you know, I guess when you're 13, maybe you're starting to see if maybe a girl thinks you're cute. But that's you know, that's nothing. But yeah, man, that's good stuff. I got one question for you. One last question for you, dude. Chris Johnson from the Titans.
Right.
Wants to be paid like what? Like a top five or top 10 player in the entire league, right? Not even amongst running backs. He wants to be one of the top paid players in the league.
Right.
Would you do it? Would you give it to him? Is he worth it?
No. Running backs are like, I'm not going to say a dime a dozen, but, you know, how they just have such a short shelf life. It's just by the time you pay him all that money, you're paying him for past performance necessarily rather than future performance.
Right.
You can't do that. Mm-hmm. I would not, absolutely. Unless it's like just, you know, unless he's not getting guaranteed money.
Right.
But no, why for a running back? They're good for like 4 years. Even Adrian Peterson, you know.
Starting to tail off, yep.
They're good till they're 27. You know, 27 is 32 for a running back. So how can you do it? Running backs are just screwed because they get paid like a rookie for 4 years and then they're bad after that. So
yeah,
it just
true.
Sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson here is don't be a running back.
Yeah, really.
Pick another position.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I mean, he is far and away the best running back in the league. But yeah, I don't know if you can just make that kind of commitment to somebody who's is likely going to decline after the age of 25 or 26. I don't know if that's, you know, you can do it. I mean, with quarterbacks, it's not the case. You know, receivers is not the case. You know, most players can play at a high level until at least 32, 33, right? I mean, quarterbacks even pass that sometimes. But running backs are right. They just kind of they really start to hit that decline after like 27, 28 maybe. The guys that have production for a long time are the guys that are behind like amazing offensive lines, like the way Emmitt Smith was, you know, and he wasn't as good obviously, but he could produce. But or guys like Barry Sanders who just knew how to not get hit, which is just rare.
Yeah,
just
running backs changed. Running back has changed the past few years, and so they just don't last long anymore.
Yeah, they don't.
You know, maybe he's the exception, but I mean, you're gambling, aren't you?
Yep.
So
sure
I'm not going to do it. And you don't win with a great running back. I mean, look at the Lions with Barry Sanders, like you just said.
Yep.
I will never believe that if you know, the Cowboys, Emmitt Smith's great running back and all, but his statistics, I mean, he's not the best running back of all time just because he has the most yards.
Absolutely not.
With that offensive line, with Troy Aikman, with Michael Irvin, with who was the tight end? Novacek. The fullback, Moose Johnston. I'm sorry. You put Barry Sanders on that, he would have gotten 3,000 yards a year.
Oh, yeah.
Almost any running back would have been good in that system with that offensive line and that offense. So,
yeah, it's true.
While he was good, he wasn't as good as his numbers suggest that he is. So, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally agree. Good stuff. All right, sir. You got any shout-outs this week before we peace out?
Shout-out to everybody in the hood. Shout-out to everybody smoking that good. Shout-out to everybody.
of any right offhand.
All right. Well, I got a couple shout-outs, and then we'll one final announcement. Shout-outs real quick. Big shout-outs to a long-time follow at Philly Smurfette, spelled the way it sounds, at Liz Piano. It's L-I-Z-Z. P-I-A-N-O. Also, one of my homeboys, We, the letter R, Magic, We Are Magic. Also, Sat Night Special, another very cool person. My man, at Burger Mike. And I can't forget, at Philly Tiff and at T-Y underscore baby with two Y's. And the announcement, like I was saying earlier, guys, we're definitely doing a fantasy football league this year. It's in conjunction with a group over at NJFFL, that's New Jersey Fantasy Football League. It's going to be real, you know, lots of prizes involved. We're throwing in some prizes. I think we're going to do two leagues. It's going to be either a 10 or a 12-team league for both leagues. But definitely, if you're in fantasy, if you like fantasy football, you got to get in that. You know, the season starts in a few weeks, so, you know, we'll be doing our draft. Just stay tuned to our Twitter feed and our Facebook and everything like that for the announcements. And then every week we'll start doing a short segment on who to pick in fantasy that week. So definitely stay tuned for that. Fantasy football has its...
Football season, woohoo!
Yeah, I love football. We love football. It is. And this should be a fun team to watch, man. Last year was a fun team to watch. But this year, hopefully, will be even more fun.
It won't be painful to watch on defense, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that we're the thing about it too is we've been spoiled with good defenses for, you know, being Eagles fans with Jim Johnson defenses and even Ray Rhodes defenses. You know, the Troy Vincents and the Bobby Taylors and, you know, those guys. Those were good defenses. You know, the Axeman Trotter and those. You know. We've had really good D's, and
right.
You know,
I just think it's going to be impossible to pass on us with those corners. I can't wait to see it. I really can't.
Yep.
They're going to have to throw Asante Samuel. He's going to have a million interceptions. Yep. I can't wait.
It's going to be fun, man. It's absolutely going to be fun. So yeah, you guys stay tuned for all that good stuff, and of course, you know, keep it locked on our podcast and on our Twitter feed. So you guys, you know, have a great week. We'll be in touch, and
thanks for giving us a listen, guys.
Absolutely. And what's that thing? Who do we got, Al? I'm trying to remember.
We got Cliff Lee.
Yes, we do. It is almost playoff time. I can't wait to watch Cliff pitch in the playoffs. Did you see the play last week where the guy breaks his bat and Cliff Lee just pretty much just ignores the flying bat and catches the ball.
He doesn't care, dude. He's just awesome. He was, what, 5-0 in June with, like, a .2 ERA. He's 4-0 so far in August with, like, a .5 ERA.
Yeah.
Probably the two best months any pitcher in baseball's had, number one and number two, has been him.
Yeah.
Let's see. He was really good in otherworldly good in June. In July. Otherworldly good in August. So that would be September, okay. And otherworldly October. In October. That sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too, man. All right.
Cool with that schedule.
You got it. All right, you guys. Thanks again. Catch Peace. You later. Peace.
Tasty juice. Drink it, then convert it to pee.
Everybody, and everybody clap your hands. We are the Quahog colonists and Mort the Jew.
Hey there!
We're out here on stage tonight to do a show for you. We got Peterson on the violin and Quagmire and Joe will be joining in. We got Stumpy Seamus on the lead guitar and he's gonna give you a great big...
break!
I didn't know we could rip off movies.
Tasty juice, drink it, then convert it to pee.
Giggity.